Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hi, everyone, and thanks so much for joining the KevCast. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we are in part three of The Descent. If you don't know what The Descent is, it's the going down process. But if you're not sure what I'm talking about, I want to invite you to go back and check out part one and part two so that part three makes the most sense to you. Okay, so let's jump right in and get started. You know, I've heard many people criticize our culture by saying, hey, our culture is so shallow. Everybody around me is a mile wide and an inch deep, right? And while it may be true that most or even many of us are shallow, we have to be careful not to deduce that we are shallow by preference. You see, it's so easy to just think people want to be shallow. People are shallow, and that's all they really want. People don't really want to go deep in their life. We have to be careful of that. This is a vital mistake that most of us make. And the result, if we make it, is that we diminish the spiritual capacity of other people. We just assume they have no spiritual capacity. In fact, many beliefs that come from modern religion believe only some people have a spirit or a spiritual capacity and others don't. That's not true. All of us have this beautiful, amazing capacity. And it is a debilitating distinction whenever we make a us versus them statement. So let's be careful of that, okay? Yes, we may have a shallow culture. It's not because they want to be. And that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit today, okay? Another thing I want to talk about first is that organized religion is particularly prone to making this mistake that I talked about. The mistake of labeling one person spiritual and another person unspiritual. You know, years ago when I worked in a local church, I remember one of the common narratives that went around was that non-churchgoers were shallow people who only wanted superficiality. It always showed up whenever somebody opted to go skiing on Sunday, or if the football game was on early and people didn't show up. Those who attended the church and looked at the smaller, diminished crowd always felt like those who weren't there were a little bit more shallow than the rest of us who stayed. That's not true. You see, many who attend services on Sunday or Saturday or even Friday, they are truly seeking a deeper experience. That's true. Many of them are. Of course, we know that not all of them are, right? Some are seeking some other thing while they're there. But did you know that the same could be said for that person who's running around Wash Park or fishing, riding their bike or skiing or staying home to watch the game? It is quite possible to say that those people are seeking a deeper experience as well. But it's also true that not all of them will be as well. You see, we call our weekends downtime, don't we? Right? The basic rhythm is that, you know, 6 days we ascend and one day we descend. You know, we work for 5 or 6 days and then we get the weekend off. That's the whole plan. And we all know it. It's the rhythm of our society. And it shows up in the Hebrew scripture. It tells us that God employed the same formula, that he or she, God, rested on the seventh day from all of his, her work, Genesis 2:2. You see, you don't need to subscribe to a particular faith system, though, in order to subscribe to this rhythm. Right? We all intuitively know that the majority of our life is purposeful for the expansion of our surface or horizontal life. We got to work, in other words, right? We all know we have to work. It's the economy, the world is set up in such a way that we have to have industry and effort to create a livelihood and a well-being. It's part of the design of everything, you know, and that creates our surface life. But we all instinctively know that we need to take a break from our efforts, don't we? We all know that at some point we have to rest from all of our output. Now, we meet people who don't seem to rest. Maybe they feel like they can't afford to rest, but we all know we need to. Life, you see, is both horizontal and vertical. Now, both dimensions are absolutely vital to each other. I mean, we need to move away from this idea that we have a spiritual life over here, and that's where we go vertically, we go deeper whenever we're attending a church or a religious service. And then after that, we go home and we just get back to our life. A lot of people, lots of people, break up their life into two categories, their spiritual life and then the rest of their life. Can I just ask you to move away from that idea? You see, as we mature, we learn that everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual, especially when you consider its origin and its nature. All things are spiritual. You can't get away from it. Even if you don't consider yourself someone who would see themselves as a spiritual person, you are a spiritual person. Now, this is our first key to understanding what the descent really is. We talked in episode one what the ascent is, but the descent, you see, is rest. The descent is when effort is replaced with wonder. It's when we exchange clinging or activating with stillness and purposeful coasting. You see, when aiming high, we have to pause and turn our eyes downward. And inward may be more accurate as we look at this. But for now, let's keep it with a vertical perspective. You see, the view of the climb is not the same perspective as the view from the climb, isn't it? Looking up the mountain looks like one thing. Looking down the mountain is quite another. So do not diminish this vital soul work. Wisdom would ask us to make regular space for this kind of reflection. It's so important. And we all intuitively know it, even at our most base understanding. We know we need a break. We need time off. We need to go chill out, right? Now, let me offer you a word of caution. Try and resist the temptation to think that the more time you spend going deeper actually makes you go deeper. You see, deepness is not based upon time. Most of us would do well to maybe go on a spiritual retreat or even a short hermitage or a sabbatical or something of where we focus our downtime. But these are never ends in themselves. You see, the ascent, all those days of working and empowering and going after and lunging and grabbing and grasping, all of that enables our coasting and our resting. And the descent empowers and clarifies our ascending. So we go deeper so that we can be way more effective and purposeful and clear with our effort. And our efforts allow us to go deeper. So the two go very close together. We have to kind of get away of this idea that, oh, I don't want to have to live in the surface life. I just want to spend all my time going deeper. I want to hide out and go away and be alone. Yes, you do need to go away and be alone at times, but being alone is never the end. Being alone is the way you recharge your battery, perhaps, especially if you're an introvert. Extroverts, maybe not so. Okay, so let's not diminish that. And we make sure we know that we error whenever we strive to exclude or minimize one or the other. Now, a second key to the descent is this. By not ascending, we are not by default descending. Now, this is a reason I'm doing this whole series, because just because you have a weekend off doesn't mean you're descending. You know, I want us to know how to go deeper. I said this is a spiritual reality for all people, and I believe that, and I believe I can prove it to you and show it to you. But I have to first convince you that sitting on the couch is not the same thing as going deeper. You know, just because we don't have a conference call on Saturday does not mean we're doing soul work. In fact, how many times have we sat around on the couch all weekend? We eat junk food, we watch junk on TV, and we literally do nothing but turn oxygen into carbon dioxide, and we turn our drinks into pee. That's it. That's about the most of our accomplishments. We just literally plop, vegetate, distract, and then repeat. See, the result often, as you probably know, is that we end our downtime feeling even more tired and more unfulfilled, don't we? You spend a weekend or a week doing nothing and eating crap and getting bad, poor sleep and watching a bunch of junk on TV, the end result will be you will feel worse. This is because you've convinced yourself you're descending, that you're resting, but you're not. You're actually ascending. Plopping on the couch is not a descent. It's actually an ascent. And watch this connection. Depression is the inability to descend. This causes the brain to rewire itself in the ascent mode, so that even while you're plopping on the couch, you've convinced yourself you're relaxing. You're not. You're going after something. You're striving. You're pursuing it. You're ascending after rest. See? You're not going deeper. So how do we go deeper in life? You see, soul work or depth recreates us. It recreates us. It's the essence of recreation. When we get down, when we get depressed, we get the blues, we get tired, or we feel hopeless, what we need is not just rest. We need recreation. This is why I started by emphasizing that people are not desiring shallowness. Most of our world defaults to shallow ascents because there are very few teachers out there who can show us the downward path. A shallow culture is the byproduct of a disabled or defunct spiritual culture or spiritual community that has lost its power and its way. Now, this should free us from the assertion that if we're going to go deeper, we need to go to church in order to meet or know God. You see, the right community certainly can help you. I'm not taking that away. That's certainly possible. But I'm really sorry to say that many of them will only take your life. They will not recreate it. You see, the process of recreation is always, 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 always an experience. It's a, if you'll allow me, a God experience. Now, it's not a lecture. It's not a sermon. It's not dogma. It's not theology. It's not a framework. It's not this intellectual engagement as we're aware of it. It's not even the little rituals of praying or studying sacred text. It's not meditating. It's not lighting a candle. It's not ringing a bell. And it's not singing. The soul work of descending is different. You see, all these things are tools. All those things can help us open the doors to our soul, but they are not our soul. And you know what's interesting is a lot of times in spiritual work, people have a beautiful, deep experience. And then the next thing they do is they evaluate the thing that brought them to that experience. Maybe it was a song. Maybe it was a sermon. Maybe it was a religious service. Maybe it was an outdoor experience. Whatever it was, as soon as they latch on to that thing that got them to the descent, they institutionalize the thing that got them there, and then they just replay that thing, and many never get on the descent again. You see, it's always an experience. Even a tiny one a brief one. The descent is this glimpse of uncommon clarity, even for just a moment. We have these flickering across our minds throughout the day and at certain types of moments. But it's always an experience with transcendence. It's that moment when you get out of yourself just for a minute. It's that moment when you actually catch up to the moment. You're not stuck in the rearview mirror, dreading over what has happened. You're not stuck looking at the future, wondering what will happen. Those are both anxiety and depression. No, the experience I call proximity. I call it proximity because you're in a present moment. And some might call it consciousness. Some might call it the Holy Spirit or the Spirit, the Great Spirit. Some might call it illumination. Some might just call it being present in the moment. It's all of those things. But you know what I'm talking about when I say it. When we step outside during our lunch break, for example, just in order to gain 5 minutes of sunshine on our face, do you realize that that is an early form of soul work? Now, we know that it's soul work because we long for it. When you're sitting inside and it's a warm, sunny day, and you long to get out, if only for 5 minutes, or if you didn't get a chance to get out and you miss it, and you want to have it. So you realize that nothing is missing in that moment. It's not so much that you want the sunshine. Yes, the warmth of the sun feels good on our skin. But there's something in the sunshine that gets us into this place, even for a moment, where everything belongs, where everything is complete, and everything is right where it should be. That's called well-being. In the Hebrew scriptures, that's called shalom. It's called the well-being in the whole of life, and it's contained within the sunshine. But you see, the sunshine is just like all those other things I listed off earlier. You don't need sunshine to get that. Just like you don't need a poem, you don't need a candle, you don't need a song or a sermon or a religious ceremony. Don't glance over this. I really want us to see that this is an everyday example because we will build on this as we go forward. Do you realize that sorrow is being outside on our lunch break while our mind is ascending somewhere else? Two people can share the same location under the sun, but not share the same experience. And all of us can tell the difference between those two. You see, inside one person, nothing is missing for that moment. While inside the other person, everything is missing because they are far from the moment. This is our most basic introduction to the presence of God. That's how I'll define it. You can define it how you'd like. It's how God reveals him or herself to all people. We call it natural revelation, and none of us can miss it. Everybody gets it at some point. Except when we are depressed or sorrowful. You see, for it says in the scripture, it says his invisible attributes, and they're speaking about God, namely his, her eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So that little bit of shalom that came through the sunshine is coming through every single thing in the world. Now, we're just beginning our descent. So I want you to try something. On our next lunch break, let's do something. Let's take a 10-minute walk. Or just sit down on the patio or on a wall or on some steps or somewhere in the grass, wherever you want. Maybe even in your car if you need to. And within that first 5 minutes, look down at something very small, like a tiny insect, a petal, a leaf, something. Maybe it's just a crumb sitting between the seats in your car. I don't know. Spend the next 5 minutes or so simply observing. Just look at it closely. Now, this is the incubator of contemplation. When you're looking and observing, that is called contemplation. Notice the questions that bubble up in your mind. You're like, huh, how did that get there? I wonder if that rock is being seen by other people. Wonder where that little bug is going across this giant patio out back. It's going to take it 3 hours to get across. Where is it going, right? As soon as you get into that space, you're observing and your mind is not somewhere else. See, this is the tiniest little thing that has the power to keep us in the moment. Now try and catch the experience of wanting more time. Do you feel like, gosh, my lunch break is ending and I really want to kind of stay here in this moment? It's kind of fun. It's kind of interesting. It's for just a moment, I realize this world is massive. How many other little rocks, how many other little bugs have a story? And that's the question, right? What is the story behind all of this? Notice yourself wanting more time in this space, or notice any reactions you have to it. This is going to prove that you actually long for depth of life, even if you don't yet have the skill to possess it, but you soon will. If you catch this flow of this very tiny moment, you will go back in from your lunch break, slightly more recreated. I guarantee it. I promise you. Notice the tiny bit of inspiration that accompanies you. And the reason is because you touched a story. You touched something that was behind that tiniest little thing. You were observing something. And like I said, it is the event horizon for the greatest thing in the entire universe. Behold, you are now on the path of life. And everything, and I mean everything you have ever really wanted, is just down the way. You'll have to come back for the next episode to figure out what I mean by that. Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.